Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
I'm going to try something new for a while, and we'll just see how it goes. But some of you don't like getting things online, and so I made this little handout that's got a sermon notes on it, a couple of fill-in-the-blanks, keep you engaged and from going to sleep. I'm not dumb, okay? I mean, I know how it goes. It's early in the morning for some of you, 10:30. But these will always be outside. You can get those. You can still get them online if you would like. You can scan the QR code. But also, you can take these home just to see what's going on. In the summer, we move. We used to say that we're so glad that summer's here because everything slows down. Actually, summer ramps everything up these days in ministry. And so just to keep up with the moving targets, you can see the events that are coming up on the back side of that during the summer. So today, I think we're in all of us are in different places in life in our journey of faith. We're certainly in different places in life with our families. Just this week, talking to people about their kids that are graduating high school. Some families are dealing with aging parents. We have engaged couples in the room. We have people that are trying to learn how to deal with not just, we kind of make football and sports analogies when we have kids. You know, when we have one kid, it's man on. And then we start splitting up, and then we have offense and we have defense, and then when it goes to three, the playbook is out the window, and then when it goes to four, right? And so for all of us, we're just in different places, right? And if you're single, you're in a different place. If you're in high school, you're in a different place. But that's also true with our journey of faith. And I know this, we're all in different places. Some of you are ahead of me, and I'm ahead of some of you. Some of us are, we're equally yoked. That means we're right in the same place, but we're traveling in different spots, and all that's okay. But we do have one thing in common, is that we kind of have avenues of life that we have together, regardless of what the lanes look like in each of our avenues. Okay, and so regardless of that, there are several things that we have in common, and one of them is when we have life together, right, just in general, all of us, we all have some things that are required of us, okay? We all have requirements. Does anybody want to tell me what one of your requirements this coming week might be? Anybody have anything? Anybody have to go to work on Tuesday? Nobody does. I want your job, right? I mean, there are just some things we have to do. We have to go to work. Some of you are going to have to try to figure out what to do with your children this week so they don't burn the house down, right? Or lock one of the other children up in the basement or whatever it might be. There are just things that are required of us. But on top of requirements, we also have desires. And desires are those things, I would say, for me, desires are things I'm passionate about, right? I mean, it might be mountain biking. It might be gardening for someone. It might be taking naps for some others. Might be shopping. There's just all sorts of things, right? And so those are the desires of our lives. So we have things that are required, and then we have things that are desired. And sometimes we forget what each of those might really mean, right? Some of those avenues get crossed over where we think some of the desireds are now some of the requireds. I just have to do this. No, you don't have to travel to Bora Bora this next week, right? I mean, you might desire to do that, but you don't have to. So we kind of get some of those intertwined. But the one thing that we can't get really intertwined, because it goes beyond ourselves, is this thing called purpose. And so the purpose in our life is way beyond ourselves. And some of us really struggle with this. We don't really know what our purpose is. We think we do. We get kind of our purpose sometimes. We think some of our desires bleed into what our purposes are. Right? I don't know. Is Dallas still in here? There he is in the back. I mean, for Dallas, he may think his purpose in life is to be the Grand Slam number one city champion of pickleball, right? Now, it's probably really not his purpose, even though that is probably one of his desires, right? And it's really not a required at all. You know, I don't know what yours might be, but the purpose is what God has created you for and who he's created you to be. Because if you look at that first blank on your notes, if you're going to take notes today, it really is that you have a purpose. You need to ask God what that purpose is. We all have one general purpose. We spent a whole sermon series on this purpose, and that is to glorify God, everything that we do. But you also have a specific purpose for your life. And there are some of those purposes that are not necessarily divine purposes, even though I can argue maybe they are, to be a spouse, to be a parent, to be a grandparent, right? To be a leader in your community, to be a teacher, to be, you know, there's a lot of things in leadership, but that divine purpose is different because you were created for God, by God, right? Do you hear that? You were created, change it the other way. You were created by God, for God, and you were created on purpose, for a purpose. I've said that for the last couple of weeks. I know I've been out the last two, but didn't Ashley do a great job Mother's Day? I mean, she was fantastic, and she's not in here, but she really did, and I want to give her some recognition there. But you have a purpose. You were created for a purpose. You need to be asking God what that particular purpose is. And your purpose is not necessarily related to your gifts and abilities. Sometimes they are. I mean, your gifts and abilities should help your purpose. But we all have different gifts and abilities, every one of us. And we all have different abilities. And we all have different, we kind of have different aptitudes, right? Not all of us can do the same things as well as somebody else. And so we need to, I joke all the time, you know, I think I'm a praise and worship leader until I hear myself. You know, you think you're a good singer until you put your fingers in your ears and then you hear yourself. And you're like, oh, that's really bad. Right? And so, I mean, we can't get those things confused. And then we have different gifts, right? And so our gifts really do propel sometimes what our aptitudes are. They do really propel our abilities. And we were all created for that idea to glorify him. But also, let me tell you this. I've got these four little things, and they're not here, but I just want to point them out to you. The first one is for you to be in relationship with God. And that's kind of where we're going to land a little bit today. But that created on purpose is to be in relationship with him. The other one is to be in relationship with those around you. And this really is important, right? And you're going to go, I don't know that it's biblical that I have friends, right? Well, it is biblical that you live in fellowship with each other. And we'll talk about fellowship later. Fellowship means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. How many of you, if you hear fellowship in the church, does anybody, the first thing you think of is your grandmother and a covered green bean dish casserole? A lot of us, right? That is fellowship, but that's not the fellowship that God talks about. And then the other one is to be in relationship with God so you are a good steward of your own life, what you have in your care. And then the last one is to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's a spiritual gift in God's church and to build up God's church. And so if you really start trying to overthink these three things, these three avenues, it can create great stress and great anxiety. What is my purpose? But I how can I fulfill my purpose if I have these conflicting responsibilities? If I have these desires, I really want to do this, this, and this, but that's going to take my time, and that's going to take my money, that's going to take my resources, and then I have to do that, and I really can't do all of my desires because my kids would starve to death because I'm never at home, right? And then if I'm never doing that, how can I fulfill my purpose? And it can really create some tension and anxiety, but that's not God intended. And Jesus even talked about his way is different. He says, for this reason I say to you, right? I'm going to add to maybe a thought process right? Think about all these. And then Jesus says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, they do not reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? Let me just go back to that. Poke the person next to you. Say, this is for you. And which of you, by worrying, can somebody come poke me real quick? Which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not labor, and they do not spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Y'all ready to go home? I mean, that's good word, and it's God's word. It's Jesus talking to us, but to put that into practice is a little harder. Somebody say amen. I mean, we just do that because I don't know about you. I know it tells me not to, but I spin. I toil. I do all of these things. Now, don't poke the person next to you and say, you spin and you toil. Because then we're going to have counseling and there's going to be a fight over here somewhere. It's going to be entertainment for online, but that's not what we want to do today. We want to hear what Jesus has to say of how to get us through these things. Because what we want to do is when we get to these three avenues that we combine them. That we let them intersect. We let them come to a place where they come together, because what we really want is this idea of our natural life intersecting with our supernatural life. And you're going to ask, how can I live a supernatural life if I don't have the tools to do it? How can I have the tools if I am worried? How can I have the tools if I'm always trying to do what's required because I'm overwhelmed? I don't ever get to do the things I desire because of these little rugrats running around my house, right? Or whatever it might be. I'm going to say, yes, you do have the tools. You have the tools because Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 tells us we have the tools. But God, rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive. He made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If nothing else you hear today, just take this. As soon as you accepted Jesus, this is a huge thing for me. I love talking about it, and we could expound on it for hours and hours and hours. As soon as you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, hear me. Teenagers, kids, young adults, adults, hear me. As soon as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were seated with him in heaven. Think about it. How is that possible? You were seated. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. You were raised with him by the power of his Holy Spirit, with that Spirit that lives within you. Okay, so now you have a new connection. I know we've talked about this, the conduit. We've talked about connections. I've had things hanging from the ceiling to try to get you to realize connections and the conduit that God has for you. We've had anchors up here where we're tied to the anchor of our hope in Jesus Christ. We have this connection, but you are actually right now seated with Him in your whole, in His Holy Spirit, your soul. You are seated with Him in heaven already. It's a mind-blowing thought process, but it's absolutely true. In heaven, because of who Christ is, you have a connection right now, right to the right hand of God. Directly to the right hand of God, you have this seated connection. Why do you think you don't have the tools? This is actually your spirit-filled connection right now. Right, and so just think about a plug, think about a water hose, think about a fire hose, think about some kind of electrical conduit. I don't know what you want. I don't know how you want to see it, but just put that right next to God where He is holding on to it and it's connected directly to you. That's the tool you have. That's the supernatural tool you have. And another excuse is maybe that you already said you don't have the ability, but now I've told you that you do, but now you're going to say, well, I don't know that I have the availability, and all I have to say is, this is where I get really strong about this. If I had a soapbox, I would stand on it. You had the availability when you wanted Christ to save you. Why do you now not have the availability when Christ wants to empower you? I heard it somewhere. Right? I mean, we want to sign up for the free gift. We don't want to sign up for the responsibility of the free gift. We want to sign up for what it gets us in the end. We don't want to sign up for what we have to go through to get to the end. Because that's what we're talking about today. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, therefore, if this is the big one. If the supernatural power that we're talking about, this intersection, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, right? You sought Him to get Him, but now it's saying, if you have been raised with Christ, see, now He's telling you, well, I know you sought me, but did you find me? Are you still seeking me? Do you still have that fire? Do you still have that yearning that you had from the beginning? You know that scripture, return to your first love. Return to that first passion. Return to your Christian camp experience. Return to your Walk to Emmaus experience. Return to your revival experience. Return to that really quiet day in your car when you met Christ, or when your parents or your grandparents introduced you, or when somehow just supernaturally you came to know Him and you knew everything was different. Return to that. Return to that. Because when we do, it goes on to say, set your mind, right? Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. Connection. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in His glory. See, when we take all of our requirements, when we take all of our desires, when we take our purpose in life, and we start mixing those and swirling those together and they intersect, that's when the supernatural life happens here on earth. That's when the natural, the earthly, and the supernatural of the heavenly intersect with each other, and that's when you can live a more passionate and powerful life. Isn't that what you want? I know it's what I want. I want something different. I want something new. I want something passionate. Because when we start doing that, think about this. If you combine your purpose to know who Christ is, not just as your Savior, but as your Lord, right? When you combine that purpose with maybe your passion or your desire now to be, wouldn't it be awesome if you know what your purpose is, but then your desire when you wake up in the morning is to say, man, I read what Matt, you know, what we talked about on Sunday. I went back and read that passage. Well, I want to read what the next passage of Scripture says. I want to see what else Jesus said in Matthew. I want to see what else Paul was talking about when he came to know Christ that maybe relates to me. See, when your this purpose and then your desires start coming together, wouldn't that be great? And then what about this idea of being required? See, because I said it's our purpose and it's our desire, but it really is a requirement to keep knowing Him, to know Him more. Not just a knowledge, but a relationship. Because it just said, keep seeking. Keep seeking. It didn't say, maybe, I'm just suggesting. No, it says, keep doing it. Keep on and keep on and keep on. So if you don't think you're experiencing the supernatural, I can tell you why. It's because this is not happening. Right? You're on. You're only on one of these avenues. Or one of these avenues is closed. One of these avenues is bigger and one of them is smaller, and you need to figure out how to make those. What about a purpose of we are to worship God? We are created for worship. Wouldn't it be great if that was your desire to worship? Wouldn't it be fantastic? And I'm not talking about just our family of faith here. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you just couldn't wait to get back to worship? Not just on Sunday morning, but anytime. Anytime. So you had this purpose and then your desire. Wouldn't it be great if all those came together? And if that's true, then you start having this supernatural life. We are required to worship, but are we doing it in a supernatural way? Think about it this way. This is just for me, right? So as a Christian, certainly I was called, right? And I had this great experience with Christ. And growing up, I knew that. And then, and I knew, you've heard my testimony just a little bit, but I knew probably I was called to ministry early on, and I didn't want to do that. Y'all can judge me all you want to, but I saw where the pastor of the church in Plainview that I grew up in, I saw where he lived, I saw how they lived, and I saw what he drove, and I said, I don't want any part of that. Judge me hard. I just went, that's not the economy I want to live in, right? And so I ignored that. I went on. I knew what my calling was, or I thought I knew what my calling was. I knew what my purpose was, you know, kind of early on. But my desire was to do something else. My desire was to do what I wanted to do, and it was great. And I can tell you that God used that 100%. We can go through that story again of law enforcement and what it did for me and how it helps me relate and how all those kinds of things. But once that my requirement, I needed to provide for life. Anybody live without money? Nope, I had to make money. I'm not going to get into that. About to be cute, and I'm not going to do it. So, I needed money, so I had a requirement. I had to get a job, right? I had a desire. I knew what I wanted to do in life, and I knew what my purpose was, but not all three of those lined up. Now, let me tell you, when I got hired by the church, right, I still had a requirement. I mean, I still have to come to work. I still have to do things. I mean, I don't have a contract, but I'm employed, right? And, in my age, in my generation, when you have a job, there are just certain things that you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to show up, you're supposed to be on time, you're supposed to work, and you're supposed to produce. I know not everybody thinks that anymore, but if you come to work for me, that's what we do. Somebody say, amen! Yeah, I mean, that's just part of it. And so, but my desire is also to do that. My desire is also to teach. My desire is also to preach. My desire is also to visit the sick. My desire is also to pray, right? And so my requirement, my desire, and my purpose all come together, and I hope I get to operate supernaturally. My question is, are you doing that? And my question is, think about your life right now, and where do you need to make adjustments? Because tomorrow, here's what I want you to do, is you're next to the last line in your outline. You can make this applicable tomorrow. Why can't we start today? Well, because you may not have already done this today, so we need to start over tomorrow. The first thing you can do tomorrow is, how do you want to start operating supernaturally? Seek the Lord first. As soon as you wake up, seek the Lord first. I'm not saying, I mean, I want you to do this. I want you to do a devotional. I want you to do a Bible study. I want you to pray. I want you to do whatever. But just get up and just say, good morning, Lord. the first thought out of your mind and say, Lord, I want to follow you today. Lord, I want just something. I mean, just start talking to him. Seek him first before you turn on your phone, right? Before you get distracted by this. Before you check email, before you check your Snap, before you check your DMs, before anything else, before you turn on the news, right? Parents, you're going to love this. Before you raise your kids tomorrow and feed the animals. Those are two different things, by the way. I didn't mean that to be funny, but it is, right? And I mean, before anything, you don't have to have scope-smelling breath to talk to the Lord. Don't brush your teeth. Seek him first. I mean, Robin doesn't see me get up and do a Bible study as soon as I wake up. But I do as soon as I wake up, start talking to the Lord. Those other things come a little later in the morning. How do you do this tomorrow? So, oh, by the way, I put a big note in here. Don't use this as your Bible tomorrow. Why? Because you got to turn it on and it's going to beep and it's going to burp and it's going to ding and it's going to slurp and you're going to get distracted. Right? Don't do that. Get out that real paper thing. That mine's not even up here either. So, right? That's what we do. Use the paper one. Then feed your soul. Read scripture. I'm going to close with this right here. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The law of the Lord being scripture, right? Not the rules. But scripture. The testimony of the Lord is sure. How are you going to know what the testimony of the Lord is if you don't read it? Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Or Fox News, or CNN, or Snapchat, or Facebook, or anything else, right? Much more pure than gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, your servant is warned by them. In keeping them, there is a great reward, right? So here's what I want you to do. I wrote these down just to give you some ideas for tomorrow. Fulfill your kingdom's assignment tomorrow. After you read scripture, after you pray and after you say, Lord, I want to follow you today, here's how you can do it. Here's what I want you to look for tomorrow. I just wrote down a whole bunch of brainstorming ideas. The person that you see that you think might need help, just pray for them. Even if you don't walk up to them and offer help, I encourage you to do that too, but at least pray for them, right? When a person pops into your head that maybe you should call or text or even write, right? Do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. Husbands and wives, let your relationship be the connection. Right? Not just the release, but your connection. And if you're married, you're going to get that. Right? Let it be something new and something intimate. When you have a moment of weakness, instead of giving in, turn away and pray in the name of Jesus and cast that weakness away. Call me, call a friend, and you don't even really have to even say anything, right? I've called people for lunch before and didn't tell them, oh my gosh, I was really having a weak moment, and I was really mad, and I was really upset, and I just need to get my mind off of it, and I need to do something else. I didn't confess all that. I just, in my moment of weakness, said, hey, Dallas, let's go have lunch. And now every time I ask Dallas to go have lunch, he's like, are you okay, brother? Right? That's okay. But cast away from it. When you have lunch with a friend, but at least at some moment in there. I had a lunch with a friend a couple of weeks ago when we were just chit-chatting and about kids and family and all sorts of things. And right in the middle of it, he said, hey, I've got a biblical question. That was great. I couldn't really answer it, by the way, but it was great. And that's okay, too, but have a Christ-centered moment or moments. It's not hard. We just have to start thinking about it. So my prayer for you today is for you to start changing your mindset about your life, to let the supernatural and the natural intersect. That idea of, I think it's even in there. Can you find that slide that Dallas made? It's at the very first. It says super plus, super plus. Can you find that? Yeah, this is what I want you to do. This is all God's telling us, right? Is to take the super of God and put it in the natural of our life, and we have this Holy Spirit-filled moments, and then it becomes a lifestyle. Then it becomes a lifestyle, because the last blank on that piece of paper is about how do you have this supernatural life? How's the intersection of natural and supernatural? It's to know God. Not a knowledge of God, but to know God. I have knowledge of almost everybody in this room. I don't know everybody in this room. Right? You have knowledge of me, but some of you don't really know me. There's a difference, right? Some of you have knowledge of Robin, but you don't know her like I do. See, that's different. That's what we're talking about here, to know God. And once you get to know God, that relationship, that's where the supernatural happens. Lord, here's what I'm asking you today. By the power of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, let the natural of this creation that we live in, that you have given to us to be stewards over, you have given us to rule over, or do you even say it, to rule over creation. Lord, let the supernatural become the lifestyle that we live. Lord, that our desires, our requirements, and our purpose come together for your good. And Lord, as we do that, Lord, not just our lives would change. Father, we get to help somebody else's life change. Because it's the power of the gospel that does it. Not us. It's that third aspect of life. And actually, church, hear me, it's the first one. We've added the other two. It's the first one. It's the way that we were initially created in direct relationship with God. We added the requirements. We added the desires, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would overcome those. Overwhelm us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear this blessing, back to the scripture of Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, that you have been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly place, so that today, in the age that has come, that he will show us the riches and the mercy of his grace and kindness towards us from God in Christ Jesus. That's what you get to go out with today into the world. Make it so in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, living the supernatural life God created you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.